Grace, the undeserved and unending love, and peace, a wholeness, a shalom to you from God, our Father, and the Lord and Savior, Jesus, who has swallowed up our mortality with life. Amen. The sermon text for today is from our epistle reading, The Very Promises of God, particularly 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, in which St. Paul writes, "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us His Spirit as a guarantee." Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. St. Paul, the writer of 2 Corinthians, he knows all about tents. In fact, Acts 18 verse 3 tells us that when Paul first came to Corinth, a major trade city in ancient Greece, he stayed and worked with Aquila and Priscilla, two fellow tent makers. The tents they made were probably constructed from goat hair and based on the size of the family or the group using the tents, whether it be nomads, soldiers, or people on caravan. And tents were nothing new to God's people. They lived in them as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. God even tabernacled or dwelled among His people in the tent of the tabernacle. Along the way, the people groaned and longed for more permanent buildings until they finally settled in Jerusalem. There, the Lord provided a temple for Himself and houses for the people. Yet the routine of the tents was not soon forgotten. The unfolding, the stretching out, and the fitting with poles, pounding the posts, taking them back up, taking out the poles, and folding up tents. It was all well known in the history of God's people, and maybe even well known for those of you who like to camp. Well, it's no wonder that St. Paul then uses this image of the tent in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 2, saying, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heavens. For in the tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling." Well, indeed, Paul is tiring of the tent of our earthly home. Just earlier, he gives reasoning. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 10, he says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." The problem with the tent of this earth, with all of God's creation, isn't the earth itself. It's that it's corrupted by sin. But I don't have to tell you that. You know it just as well as Paul does when he writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4, "For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened." The burden of this tent is too much. The cultural clashes, the racist one-liners, the family failures, the worries of work, the scrums at school, the reeling relationships, the marriages messed up, the sins secluded in secret, these damnable diseases, and the deaths of dear loved ones. This earthly tent is on the move, on a march toward mortality. Indeed, as the scriptures tell us from Genesis to Revelation, the march goes on. From the seduction of the serpent, to the brother killing brother, to a tower in the sky, to waters destroying far and nigh, to a chosen Israel choosing idols, to exiles in Babylon, to Jerusalem and to their temple now destroyed, to a baby on the run, to a child misunderstood, to a son and brother apparently gone mad, to a man without a home, to a seizing of God's Son, to His body beaten and undone, and God's march to His own mortality as He takes on all of creation's corruption to the cross, becoming the earthly tent that is destroyed. But now, raised to life forever, Christ has put on the immortal, heavenly, glorified, and permanent perfect body. Paul proclaims in 2 Timothy 1, verses 9 to 10, He saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing, the resurrection of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The appearing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the beginning of the immortal heavenly dwelling right here on earth. The early church called Easter the eighth day of creation. It's also the first day, the beginning of the new creation in Christ. As God recreates His creation, making you, me, and all things new again in Christ. And dear brothers and sisters, you are in Christ, baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection. His Spirit lives in you. Your eternal life has begun. Your longing is fulfilled in Christ and His immortal life for you. That's what we've been groaning and longing for. This is what we have been waiting for. Not a death so we can escape this misery, or an eternal non-bodily floating kind of life in the clouds of the heavens. No, we are partaking in now and longing for fully a perfect life in the body, in Christ, which does not end as He comes down to you and brings heaven down to earth. This is what we're longing for. Or as the tent maker Paul promises, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Your messy, mixed up, and mortal life is already waning. As you sink down into the waters of your baptism and are swallowed up by life in the Spirit, as you recall the words of your pastor, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of the water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven all your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. Kneeling at our Lord's altar, your brokenness is made beautiful, your despair is dismissed, and your fear is forgiven by Christ's body and blood for you. As your mortality is swallowed up by the eating and drinking of his immortal life. Already now, Christ's Spirit lives in you, bringing an eternal and immortal life now and guaranteeing the full bodily, perfect, immortal life with our Lord on a perfect, recreated new heavens and new earth when Jesus returns. St. Paul once again describes this great and glorious day in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 54, saying, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable as the last trumpet sounds, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and when the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'" We hear the echo of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 25, verses 6 to 8, promising, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." This immortal refrain climaxes as St. John sees the day, when death is swallowed up forever. As Revelation 20:16 tells us, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." Finally, on that great and glorious day of our Savior's return, just like Christ on Easter, death for you and me is swallowed up forever, and his immortality is given to you. And just when you think it couldn't get any better, an immortal, eternal dwelling comes down for you from the heavens, just as John declares in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, baptized into Christ, and then on the last day before our Lord, your mortality is swallowed up by life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.